A booyah, 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 ha!
Whoa, what was that?
You know, Trading Places? No? Come on, Eddie Murphy, Eddie Dan Aykroyd? Yeah. And in the, you know, Happy New Year! Welcome back to Pixel Chicken Gaming Podcast. I'm Philip. To my left is Stryker. To my right is Johnny.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the River Man, the Riv Meister.
We don't call him that.
God either. Damn it. I don't know why I called him that, but River is not here today. He's sick.
He's dead.
He'll be
He's
back.
Shitting He's shitting himself. Dead. He won't be back. He's dead.
What if he actually dies?
That would
then I will be
probably
a prophet. Wouldn't we be like accomplices? Chicken. Like, wouldn't we this be evidence that we called it before it happened?
I don't know.
You
guys be off episode of Longmire.
You could have fed him Chipotle and been the source.
Maybe a bad episode of CSI.
River, don't eat Chipotle anymore.
Yeah, you don't want, like, double E. coli?
Well, guys, we have... sorry, Phil.
No, go ahead.
I just wasn't even...
Well, we've got a little award show coming up. We won't say particularly when, but soon. It's going to be pretty laid back. We're not going to talk about the definitive game of the year, but
We're going to have our game of the year awards, or our Pixel Chicken version of the game of the year awards, and we're just going to pick some. We'll probably have some categories and pick our favorite games, and then from those categories, and then we'll probably do our overall favorite game of the year, and that'll be like an individual thing, not necessarily the best game of the year, because we feel like that's a bit too hard to judge, because there's so many different genres. And
there's been a lot of good games that came out this year, too.
A lot of good games. So we just want to have our own personal picks for favorite game of the year, and then some other categories as well. So be on the lookout for that. We'll give more details on our Facebook and Twitter pages, which are, by the way, facebook.com/pixelchickenpodcast and @pixel_chicken. And if you have any ideas, send them to or hate mail to Johnny. Send them to pixelchickenpodcast@gmail.com. But anyway, be on the lookout for more news regarding that. We still have a few details to work out, but we should have that coming at very close to the beginning of the 2016. So, anyway.
So I guess technically this is our Christmas episode, right?
This is our Christmas episode.
There's going to be a segment towards the end where Phil's going to serenade us with 10 minutes of carols.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
10 full minutes.
Look forward to that.
You guys want to talk about Mafia 3, a new 15-minute gameplay trailer that looks awesome.
Yeah, so this gameplay trailer, this actually was shown behind closed doors at Gamescom, and that's where all the previews for Mafia 3, when it was announced, came from this footage. And so there was like a live commentated walkthrough from this footage that was shown, and so for the first time everybody got to see it. And, what did you think, Johnny? Now, preface this by, have you played the previous Mafia games?
I didn't play the first one, but I played most of the second one, and I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the biggest complaint was that there wasn't much of an open world, and as you pointed out a while ago, there was an issue where when you shoot people and they die, the bullets keep passing through their body, which makes the shooting, like, very satisfying, very unsatisfying as soon as they die.
God, I hated... It was the... Like, I would imagine most people play the game and would never notice this. But for me, that was like a big... It annoyed me so much.
I guarantee I noticed it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm sure that, you know, there's people that are... And
like,
I don't mean
I forgot about it, but as soon as you brought it up, I'm like, oh, that fucking thing!
So the way it would work was you would shoot a guy. So say you'd shoot an enemy four times, and the fourth shot was the killing shot. Yeah. Any shots after that would not register. They just go through him as if he was not there and, like, hit the wall behind him. So, you know...
Sounds annoying.
A signature gun of the time is the Thompson, the Tommy gun.
You spray and pray.
You spray and pray. So you sit there and spray a guy, and even a game like Godfather for the original Xbox, like, you'd spray a guy with the Tommy gun, and as long as you were shooting him, it didn't matter how many bullets you had left, he would sit there and just,
That's awesome.
In this game, you shoot a guy with a Tommy gun, and only, like, the first three bullets register, and then you're just shooting at, you know, bottles and shit behind him.
Yeah.
It was so annoying.
So they fixed that. The shooting looks great. It looks very reactive, which is, like, my favorite kind of thing. You said that you shoot limbs, and, like, they react to it. And
yeah, I saw in like, one of the shootouts in the footage, the main character, Lincoln Clay, shoots an enemy in the knee, and his leg, like, flies, because he shoots him with, like, the high-powered revolver, like the Magnum revolver, and his leg flies back. And originally, I thought it was just, like, a ragdoll reaction. Like, his leg flew back because that's where the impact was. But then he falls down on the ground and, like, holds onto his leg and, like, writhes in pain and stuff.
That is awesome.
And you can have, like, there's, like, finishing kills, too. So you can, like, shoot a guy to stun him, and he'll kind of, like, stand there like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna die. Then you can run up on him and, like, bash his face in.
I'm watching the gameplay, and it's like not necessarily like watching another person play a game. Like, I feel like it makes me really pumped because it's like watching an actual action scene.
The guy's playing, like, how fluid it is.
Yeah, fluid. It's so fluid.
I can totally see this game as like the Witcher 3 of the Mafia series, where it's like, you know, the first one's a little dated. The second one, like, had so much potential, and while it's still good, it's just kind of, like...
missing something?
Yeah, you really wanted... like, it felt like a game that should have so much more, but for its time, which it was ahead of its time, I would say, kind of, in a way.
Parts of it were ahead of the time, parts of it were very behind the curve.
PS2 era, Mafia 1. Yeah. But, like, yeah, like, the open world didn't have anything to do in it, which I thought... kind of give it a unique feel to it, because it made it feel like it wasn't an open world game. It was just like an open story game.
But it had such a great atmosphere.
The atmosphere.
That you wanted more in this world.
Like, and this looks like it's got the atmosphere.
It does. I feel the same way. And so, that's one thing that I feel is kind of a staple for this series, is having a real good atmosphere that really puts you in the respective time, whatever it is. And this one, it's got, you know, it's in... inspired by New Orleans, the area that you're in, and it's very
jazzy.
Got a lot of a lot of really good colors, and it's just very interesting looking. And there's a lot of people doing, you know,
there's a lot of
emphasis on atmosphere.
I mean, yeah. I know this is a preview, but there's a lot of people doing things, like,
yeah, a lot of people just doing random
unique
stuff.
Things, but it looks really good. The only thing that nobody knows, because I think that's going to be a lot of fun to play. It's going to have a lot of stuff to do in it. They said they're addressing the open world being empty. And so the one thing that is sort of up in the air is, will the writing be as good? I mean, you never know. Because
it's a completely new team. It's a new upstart studio. And it's sort of a conglomerate. There's guys from, like, 2K Marin that worked on, like, BioShock and stuff. And then there's a lot of the designers, I guess, like a lot of the art team people worked on Mafia 2. And so it's sort of like a mishmash of... And then the main guy's from LucasArts. He was the guy that was you'd see talking on, like... he was like the product lead on Force Unleashed.
Good. So
your favorite game.
Force Unleashed 2, my favorites. Maybe the story will be as good as that, yeah.
One other thing I really liked about it is, you know, in a lot of these games, a lot of the kind of open world games where you make your way into indoor areas, and those sort of more like scripted shootout action scenarios, the indoor areas aren't as interesting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're kind of just feel like they're thrown together.
Yeah.
Because the game is more focused on a large open world. Maybe they don't have time to, like, sit and meticulously, you know, craft these amazing indoor areas. But in the two areas they show in this game, there's, like, a seedy, like, back, like behind-the-scenes racket of some sort, and it has, like, a dock and area and stuff that boats are taking off, and then there's a club. I thought that both... And then a graveyard also. Mm-hmm. I thought that all the areas looked really interesting and really, like, dense. And not necessarily with people, but with just stuff. Like, a lot of design, lot of art design that was really interesting in these areas. And just kind of a cool setup. I really liked what they put together. They looked very interesting.
One of my favorite scenes in any game ever, like, for the atmosphere, is coming home at the start of Mafia 2 when it's Christmas time and it's snowed in and it's playing old-timey Christmas music, and you're just walking around the neighborhood through the back alleys, and mom's coming out with, like, a pie and fucking... Like, it's just so cozy.
Yep.
And, like, no games do that. Like, are comfortable or try to create this really relaxing, beautiful imagery to give you something to lose, you know? Like, mm-hmm. like you immediately get, like, super attached and like, nostalgic about, like, this
introduction. And it just sets the mood. It puts
just
you in
through
the
atmosphere. Yeah. The storytelling through... That mood and that atmosphere is just so perfect that like very few games have done that well at conveying that. So I hope that they really they remember that it seems from the judging from the quality of the gameplay, like, there's some intelligence here. So
yeah, so, I agree. It's a shame you didn't beat the game Mafia 2 and experience the heartbreak that was the ending of Mafia 2.
I've been wanting to do it forever. I lost my save, though.
Yeah. I'm just going to spoil it.
Oh, not that much.
Yeah, so I think it looks cool. You know, there's some people that are saying that maybe it's straying too far from the original games, which were... you know, and I can understand how people would, because some people are more interested in sort of the traditional Italian mob sort of stories, mm-hmm. and that the first two games told, and this one's straying further away from that and telling a different story.
I didn't catch it. What kind of mob is it?
Well, he's like starting his own, he's joining the Black Mafia and starting his own gangster group and joining with... There is an Italian mafia presence, but they're more like... Seems like they're more like enemies, because they are battling with the Black mob, and...
I'm glad that they're telling the story, because, you know, when you think of crime dramas, the first thing you're going to think of is a Martin Scorsese or a Francis Ford Coppola movie. It's always going to be associated with, like, the Italian mafia, so they're kind of expanding upon...
Yeah. I think it's interesting.
That genre.
And they're... They are, you know, we talked about this before. They're touching on some racial profiling and stuff in the game. So I hope that that's well done and it's not just like...
Some forced crap.
Yeah, kind of forced crap that they do. They seem to do that in a lot of games. Like, they try to take a stand on something and just... It feels really forced. Yeah.
BuzzFeed praises it.
But I understand that it's something that was occurring at this time. So, you know, it's... I applaud them for taking the effort to touch on it. I just hope that it's not like... I think the dude even said in the walkthrough, he's like, we're not trying to stand on a soapbox and preach about this. We're just, it's there.
I call that kind of, and while I don't have a beef against Mad Men as like a show, I don't like how they handle the setting in Mad Men as like a, let's take everything we find controversial now and like blow it up. Like, this is how it was. Look how fucking sexist they were. It's just like, hey, tits, come here. Like that's, whenever I watch Mad Men, that's just what I get. It's just like, everyone's racist, everyone's sexist.
Hey, tits, come here.
But, like, it's, like, so 50-niffy. It's like a, it's just like a very backwards, like everything you knew about the 50s was wrong. Or the 60s, or wherever it ends up being. But even though, like, I love the, such a polarizing show for me.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so long as they don't do
Aaron loves that show.
That, it makes sense why anybody would like it, because the cast is great and stuff.
Really great cast. I, real quick, on the same note as what you just said, something that I hate that games do,
mm-hmm.
and when any period game, a lot of them, not all. In fact, there's some great games that don't do this. I don't like when games poke fun at things from the time, and just like, to me, it takes me out of the experience. And there was actually a couple of these in Mafia 2. They were small. But I remember sometimes you'd listen to the radio and they'd be like, supposedly they're working on this thing called the, you know, like a spaceship to go to the moon. Yeah, that won't, that'll work. You know, stupid stuff like that. It's like, okay, I know you're trying to make a joke, but...
It's like, oh, smart. Like,
yeah, that's it's just stuff that's not clever. It's just like someone just threw it in there for the hell of it because they thought it was funny. I don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
Unless it's a comedy game, and, you know, if a game with, like, a lot of sort of, like, you know, wink-wink humor,
Well, speaking of the definitive version of Mafia 3, apparently Nintendo decided that they weren't going to have the definitive Super Smash Brothers until they put Bayonetta in it.
Oh,
you don't have to.
I wanted to.
Oh,
we're going to have another Phil's transition, at Phil's segue episode, part two.
Hells yeah!
The thing about you is before you segue something, you get this, like, the most, this childlike excitement about like, you.
That I have to jump at the opportunity.
That's how he gets his jollies, man. Yeah. Just let him...
What are we talking about again?
Bayonetta.
Oh, Bayonetta. Yeah, Bayonetta. So...
That was surprising.
There was a Nintendo Direct about Smash Brothers, and they announced, two DLC characters?
Bayonetta and the character who's not out yet, in the character you play as in the new Fire Emblem Fates that I'm stoked for.
Oh, so it's a character that's not even...
It's out in Japan.
That's cool. A brand new character.
Yeah, it's the character that you... And the trailer for it was kind of funny because in Fire Emblem Fates, you buy basically two different games... And each game is like a side that you pick. And if you buy them together, then you're given a dialogue decision at the start where it's like you've got the characters on one nation saying, "Join us!" And then the other character is like, "Where are you going?" Or the other nation. So it's like you're already part of this like evil one, so you can try to turn them around or you can join the oppressed one. So you make the choice through dialogue and you're like, "I'll pick them or them." And so like the Smash trailer starts out with like, "I'll pick this side or this side." And then, like, he keeps, like, going back and forth, and he can't decide, and then all of a sudden a third option appears, like, "I want to smash!" Like, so he picks that instead.
Like, just... he wants to fuck?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other Fire Emblem characters in the Smash Brothers? I don't know some of the
there's
characters.
There's, like, so Roy and Marth are the old ones, and then now there's Lucina, and then there's Robin... so yeah, there's like five.
Gotcha.
Fire Emblem has a lot of Smash characters, and now this is like the sixth, which is great because I love Smash or Fire Emblem, and I like people. Like I like human being fighters. Like I don't like big cartoon rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
So when I win like a fighting game, I want to be the guy with the sword or the guy with the punches. Like
yeah,
personally. So I'm glad that the new Smash had a bunch of those with like Shulk and.
I should draw Bayonetta sometime. I'm going to draw Bayonetta sometime.
Are you good at drawing ass?
I am good at drawing ass.
Oh, okay.
Yikes. Yeah, Phil's... Okay, so...
Just going
to... draw hentai. So it's Bayonetta, the other
Phil
character.
Phil is a well-known hentai artist in his spare time.
That's true. That's actually not true. On DeviantArt, Phil's hentai is just...
Yeah, he's got a Patreon. People pay him thousands of dollars.
Yeah. For his... overly just
got the anime tits that are like okay when I was in Japan I saw a figurine at a figure store and it was like a very large size figurine and it needed supports because the character's breasts were like 13 times the size of her and I'm not even joking.
How can she walk around like that?
She can't.
Phil
she can't
fucking obviously
she's dying. It's sad.
It's terrible.
But this exists. Somebody would pay like hundreds of dollars for a figure. It was like in a display case because it was so rare. Because obviously no one. And it's just. It's funny because her face is kind of like, oh god, help. Anyway.
Speaking of that, Bayonetta was the other character.
Yes, Bayonetta.
And she looked like. You and I were talking about this before the episode. She looks like she was ripped right out of the game.
It's insanely impressive. I mean, the Ryu one was pretty dang good.
Mm-hmm.
This is another level. This is like, all of a sudden I'm playing Bayonetta now. Like, the animations and how fluent they are and like, to the button press.
Yeah.
In a game that takes that responsiveness and that satisfying animations to the button press more so, like so well. Like I feel like that's one of the best button response feeling games I've ever played. Like with the dodge time and the slight slow-mo before each punch and that game looks and feels really satisfying, and they conveyed that into Smash Brothers somehow. Like, I don't understand. And not only that, the new map is on that, like, floating or the falling clock tower piece from the, which is, like, the coolest idea ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I did not expect Bayonetta to be in it at all, let alone to be, like, really fucking cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think it's, I loved,
Yeah, I was very
surprised because you and I were talking about like how she's more of, you know, a mature character. Her clothes come off when she has her hair attacks and stuff, and which I don't think is going to happen.
Kirby, for a brief moment, had Bayonetta's hair. I swear.
Yeah, they showed that.
That's funny.
And he showed like a little power too. He had gun shoes or something.
That's funny. But that is cute.
That is cute.
Yeah, little gun shoes.
Gun shoes.
It's
fucking cute.
Yeah, man. It's cute. The and then Cloud right before that. That like really to show that
I forgot all about that.
Those two are obviously like the top two because they had that page that was like, please give us suggestions. They actually went with the ridiculous suggestions and then they made it work, and not only that, they put like a ton of effort into it. The Cloud stage is crazy with all of the summons that show up, and I don't know how fun he is to play as, but I mean, I'd play as him if somebody else bought him.
I haven't seen their final smashes of those characters.
They don't show them off in the trailer.
Cool.
Which is great.
So it's a mystery.
Yeah, but they already show off a lot, which is impressive.
And they also said that this is going to be the last DLC characters.
It's cool that the DLC characters look like they have more effort put into than like the other ones. Yeah. They're not just like, you know, regular characters. So like I feel like if I were to really get into the game, or if I wasn't, like I'd want to play them. Like I really want to play them. Like I want to play all of the announced ones.
Yeah.
Except for like some of the returning characters. I don't give a shit about like Lucas or, because there are characters like that were missing from the roster that people wanted back.
Right.
I don't care. But like Mewtwo and Lucas.
Mewtwo's cool.
No, yeah, no, they're both cool. Like, I don't play as them.
Right, I wouldn't
Lucas literally is Ness, but a little different, I think. But I don't know, some Smash nerds probably going to be like, no, he does 8% damage on his up B, and it's a deflect, so. that's like 90% of my friends, sorry.
It's okay. You've perfected that voice. I can only imagine that you have a few people that sound like that in your life. The other piece of news that was pretty huge that happened.
Damn it.
Oh, fuck. You have a segue that I'm ruining for you. Go ahead.
Okay. Bayonetta seems real happy about our transition, but you know who's happier about his? Hideo Kojima. There you go. Sorry, Striker. Go ahead, man.
Dude. You were so mad that you didn't get that you weren't going to get to do that segue.
It doesn't matter. Let it go. It's all fine.
See, when you do those segues, like it just makes me lose my train of thought immediately because I'm just focusing on your segue. Anyway, yeah. So
sorry, bro.
It's okay. It's okay.
A dish wagger for you.
So there was rumors going around, and that they were eventually confirmed that Kojima not only has a new production studio that he has put together with some former people that worked for his production studio and under Konami, but that he's also partnering with Sony to develop a Sony exclusive game, also that would be on PC, it sounds like. And so they're partnering in creating some sort of experience. Who knows what it's going to be? And he's also interested in doing like anime, possibly, and
live action stuff
for his studios.
It sounds like he's interested in just doing like general cool media stuff, no matter what it is, or being involved in it.
Yeah, and what a cool ass logo!
Yeah, fucking awesome. It
emits possibility.
So as soon as I heard this, and like even days after, I feel relieved. like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders. Yeah. Like, for some reason,
finally we don't have to worry about Konami.
Like I can't imagine how Kojima himself feels. Like, I feel like he, my friend was just like released from prison.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, oh, you're finally gone. That fucking disease is like cut out of your life. Like, yeah. He was literally not allowed to talk. All right. Yeah. So I feel like with Kojima having his own thing, I'm really curious to see the creative freedom that he'll be given. Now he's got Sony. They are way more open to things like that. I mean, they allowed Miyazaki to do Demon's Souls and Bloodborne from Software.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they funded that.
You know, you have to wonder with Kojima working on such a big series like Metal Gear in the past that, you know, I'm sure at some point he wanted to do other things, but he was being kind of pushed into, you know, probably pretty heavily pushed into making another game in the series. And I don't think he minded. He, you know, he loved the series and stuff. But it's really interesting to think of, you know, basically he has a blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
And something he hasn't had in...
That's what it feels like.
Forever. I feel like Sony's really interesting to me because they really want good first party. And when they get talent under their wing, they give them kind of like a blank check.
Yeah.
Sony games are really high budget, but I've never felt like the talent has really matched until, you know, you got like Naughty Dog where it did, and then you've got like, but like they give it to studios like the people that made Resistance.
Insomniac.
They're dumping money on Insomniac. They're okay.
I love the Ratchet and Clank games.
That's right. Okay, I was talking about mostly like Resistance. But, like, and even then, Ratchet and Clank had its heyday. They're like a PS2 era gold thing. But, like.
Speaking of Ratchet and
they
Clank.
They never evolved.
What do we think of the movie trailer?
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that.
It just. We completely forgot about it.
I'm stoked about it.
It looks cool.
Yeah, I think it looks
cool. What you were saying, sorry.
So, like, I feel like they've never had. Or in the last few E3s. They've been showing off their first-party talent, and I haven't been that impressed, but I have been impressed with the creative freedom they've been given. It seems like Sony games have this, like, this real emphasis on, we gotta be creative. Like, there are all these, like, really imaginative, wacky games that come out of their first party, but they seem a little forced or a little too corporate because they're very high budget, but they're trying to be artsy, and you know what I'm talking about? Like the Little Big Planet type stuff, like, where they have, like, a like the Little Big Planet team.
The Dreams.
They're making the Dreams thing. It's like, I don't know what the fuck that is. I don't know if I want to buy it.
But there's a lot of super ambitious
stuff. Sony's doing that. Like I probably won't buy that, but they're doing that. So it's like, I feel like they let their teams do whatever is creative. They want that. They want that to be their thing. And they throw a shit ton of money at them. I don't feel like they've had the talent to really get me into it. Like, now they do. They've got fucking Kojima team. That's cool. That could be huge.
And the guys that he's bringing on with him is also huge.
He's got the artist.
Yeah, the artist. I forget his name.
Chinkawa? I don't remember.
And I guess there was an interview with him as well, and he talked about how he was interested in VR. I don't know if that's going to be have anything to do with his next game.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
I would be surprised. I mean, by then it will be. By the time that, I don't know how long this game is going to take to be created or what it is. You know, I think he also said something about in his interview about how he wants it to be a little more smaller scaled, not a huge epic such as Metal Gear. I'm fascinated. I hope
that he starts small again.
Yeah.
Because if any good new series, it really needs that. And there's an emphasis on massive mega games coming out of the AAA. Even for the new IPs, they're so fucking gigantic. Like Watch Dogs and Destiny. And they're just
by the
like,
time they come out, they already feel like a franchise.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, with the original Metal Gear Solid...
The Division is not even out, and it feels like a franchise.
Yeah, yeah. And, like as soon as Watch Dogs was announced, like, all right, when's the sequel?
Yeah.
Which I'm going to play the shit out of, but...
Yeah.
The Like, he needs a new Metal Gear Solid 1, where it's just, like, a simple game. They don't need to take that long to make something like that. Like, I really want to see him come out with something, or a bunch of little projects first. I really want to see Kojima's mind at something that isn't a 70-hour long, like, I'm going to create the biggest and best game while I'm still alive. Like, because like, that feels like what Phantom Pain was just, like, too big for anyone's,
like, I wonder, realistic
capabilities.
You know, another thing about that is interesting is you hear people talk about this a lot, how, well, Kojima takes forever to develop games, so we won't see this game for, you know, however many years and stuff, but nobody knows except him and, you know, people behind the scenes how much of him taking a long time to develop games was actually his fault. And I'm sure maybe it was, you know, a little bit of both, but a lot of that could have had to do with, you know, pressure from Konami to make changes or to do other things, or maybe, you know, taking talent to work on other stuff, or, you know, who knows. All I'm saying is that, you know, we don't know that it was actually just Kojima's fault that these games took for a really long time to make, and I'm sure a lot of it was, but
from the there was definitely, you know, Konami bullshit, but from the behind the scenes, we do know that Kojima is a total perfectionist,
right?
And loves to spend a lot of time on minute details that no one will ever see.
Oh yeah,
and like, you know, he'll spend a month on something, and the artist will think he's joking, or and I think he likes to scrap a lot of things that they work on too. Like, he's just like not happy with a lot of stuff, and like in Metal Gear 2, they talk about a bunch of stuff they just threw out the window. Which, you know, because he's a perfectionist, that's why his games are so good. So, but, like, he'll probably take longer than most people, but if he doesn't make the fucking Phantom Pain again, like, he could really pull something off in 2 to 3 years rather than 5 to 7.
Yeah, I agree. I wonder what I had. There's no point really speculating on this, but I just wonder what genre this, I know, right? he will tackle.
I want to see him do horror so bad. I just want to see him do it the once, because it seemed like he was really good at it. And we could have the best horror game, probably the best horror game ever, with his insane mind, because that's what he showed off in PT. He's fucking crazy. And he applies that to games so well in a way that horror games have not ever seen. If in years, like since Silent Hill 2.
Even the Metal Gear series had some creepy parts.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. Or, well, even when it's not creepy, it's very psychological.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's good at. Kojima gets in your brain. Kojima is the best developer at putting, or one of the top five at least, in putting his mind in the mind of the player. Like, I've never felt like anybody could, like, do that as well as him, other than, like, you know, Miyamoto or, you know, stuff like that. But, so I'm really looking forward to whatever they churn out. It's going to be...
It'll be a Western.
I hope it's kind of like what Double Fine does, where it's just, they just have, like, a lot of little projects that they just announce as, oh, it's out in 3 months. And then they have, like, a big project that's out in, like, 3 years. But they keep, like, doing these weird little hodgepodge things, like, oh, there's a remaster of this, or, like, I mean, I'm not saying that Kojima, I want to see Kojima do that, but I want to see Kojima, like, just do, like, a shit ton of things at once.
Like a downloadable title while they're working on whatever huge project they have.
Because Double Fine, like, seems to have, like, I remember they had their Kickstarter thing, and that was, like, the big Double Fine thing that they were working on. Meanwhile, they released The Cave, then they released Grim Fandango HD, then they released The Thing, then they released this. They released like 5 things by the time that one Kickstarter thing came out. So they weren't just doing that one thing. I'm hoping Kojima's got lots of cool, like, oh, we're doing like an anime thing, and we're doing like a big game, but we're doing like a little game, like for Steam. And
we're also doing a fighting game.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point to transition. You were just talking about Double Fine and some of the, like, those games, which reminded me of Full Throttle, which also got announced. Full Throttle 2, right?
No. Psychonauts 2.
Psychonauts 2. Full Throttle Remake.
Or HD Remaster.
And then what's the other game?
Day of the Tentacle.
Tentabeast.
Day of the Tentabeast. Day of the Tentacle was the first Tim Schafer game. They made it and packaged it in their home. It's really good. It's really funny. And it's got that timeless 2D animation that LucasArts was known for.
So it's the same guys that made Grim Fandango?
Yeah. And so Grim Fandango is one of my favorite games ever. And because of that HD remaster, I got to go back and play it. I always wanted to, and it turned out better than I expected. And so I'm so excited to go through Full Throttle. Because Full Throttle is like way shorter. It's only like 4 or 5 hours.
Is it the one with the motorcycle guy on the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's 2D. It's got the LucasArts animation. I fucking love when LucasArts did 2D animation. They did such a good job. The voice talents are always fantastic. And so, yeah, the game kind of looks more like Monkey Island than Grim Fandango was with its incredible 3D art.
And to a lot of other gamers out there, I know Grim Fandango is a real thing. So when I say, oh, those guys that made Grim Fandango... Sorry.
What?
What?
It's just a given that Grim Fandango is a Tim Schafer game. So now it's like, oh, those are
I don't know. It's like, I mean, yeah, it's huge, but there's still a lot of people I feel like that don't know it, and even most people that know it don't really know anything about it other than that it's like.
I wasn't getting that tone from you, Phil. You don't have to worry about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's a valid question because I mean I fucking love
Phil
that.
Hates Tim Schafer.
I never played a Tim Schafer game. I'd love to though.
He hated Brutal Engine because it wasn't metal enough.
Brutal Legend's a Tim Schafer game?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I would love to play that. Yeah, I'd love to play Brutal Legend.
How did you never play Brutal Legend?
I don't know why I never played Brutal Legend.
You would so fucking love it. You would so fucking love it.
It's probably
Have you seen the beginning cutscene of Brutal Legend?
No, I haven't.
God damn it,
Jack
Phil.
Black is like this roadie.
I know that, yeah.
And he's just like a roadie for this like metal band. Mm-hmm. It's like a modern one. And then like they're all these pretty boy, like, shitty pop metal, like, uh-huh. Not metal at all. And they're, like, making fun of his amazing set work where he builds this giant skull stage. And they're like, when are you going to get something to appeal to our tween demographic? That's all I'm saying, you know, man? And then they go out and they play, and Jack Black's just sitting there smoking a cigarette, just, like, watching them about to start their thing. And the guy's like, hey, do you want to hear some heavy metal? And like, all the crowd's out there and... going wild, and then they start like this sweet heavy riff, and he's like, ooh, and your girlfriend, and with, like some DJ comes out, he's like,
shit.
He's got like 20 hats on, they're like, say what, like they got like, grills, and
you can tell that this person was definitely like,
and Jack Black's just like, ugh. And then so the shitty guitarist climbs up the stage, the giant skull stage he built. And he
knows how many more. I gotta play the game now. I gotta play the game.
Everyone look this up. The intro to this game is amazing, and all you need to know is that the game is set in the fantasy world of metal.
Yeah!
Every region, it's like a Zelda kind of deal.
This game had so much press. How did you not know?
I knew about it. I just never got around to playing it, and then I forgot about it after
a while. So every region in the game is based off of a subgenre of metal.
Mm-hmm.
So the opening area is like this. It's like classic 80s metal. There's a lot of like Motorhead, mm-hmm. and then a lot of Dr. Feelgood.
Ton of famous voice actors too.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I've been wanting to. I actually have an idea in my head for a comic book I'm doing that's sort of like kind of riffs on that a bit.
Tim Schafer is one of my favorite like comedy writers ever because he takes like dark comedy,
mm-hmm.
and he finds some way to really engross the player into like this world. Like Grim Fandango did that, where like you feel like really attached and you can take the characters and everything seriously, but it's so funny at the same mm-hmm. time. And Brutal Legend had its flaws. Like the gameplay had this kind of repetitious hack and slash thing. This is really shitty RTS mechanic. But everything else about the game is so amazing that if you can get past that, like I did, the driving is good. I thought because you build like a car.
Cool.
It's fun. It's fun.
When you're driving your car around, you have this massive playlist of metal music that you can go through. And as you progress through the game, through the zones,
mm-hmm.
you unlock new songs to play in your car.
Oh, that's cool.
By the end of the game, you've got like 60 songs or so.
Nice.
And there are some songs scattered around the game world. Also, like The Legend of Zelda, your ocarina or whatever instrument you have is a fucking electric guitar. So you pull it out and you play it, you know, like an ocarina. So you have different songs. By the time you're at the end of the game, you have an ability. You can call down a flaming zeppelin from the sky with your guitar, and it just smashes into your opponent.
That's awesome.
The game is fucking Ozzy Osbourne's in the fucking game as the devil.
Nice.
And he also plays a bat.
That's cool.
He's the devil who upgrades all your stuff. Like, you drive into hell, and he just kind of comes out and, hey, man!
That sounds hilarious.
It is amazing.
God, it's metal.
Yeah. Anyways, Tim Schafer's the man. He said that I was the best thing ever. And Full Throttle and Day of the Tentacle coming in HD next year. Day of the Tentacle is coming very soon. Full Throttle is also slated for next year. I'm more excited for Full Throttle because it was towards the end of that era. And it didn't... I think it sold okay, actually, but it was
a huge cult following.
Grim Fandango and Full Throttle were meant to have sequels, but LucasArts went under that new management in 2000, and it fucked everything. Basically, everything good about LucasArts got screwed, and they kept getting under management change after management change to the point where LucasArts just died. So, fortunately, I mean, it was just a dying beast for so long. Just like they dump millions into a project and then just cancel it, and so that's how it was. I think they were working on a Full Throttle 2, and then they canceled it, and then they had plans for a second Grim Fandango, and it just
how sad.
Yeah,
but you know, Psychonauts was a success enough for them, and Brutal Legend, and now they got Psychonauts 2 for some sort of Patreon or not Patreon Kickstarter site. It's a really weird site too. I don't know if you've read about it, but the Psychonauts 2, I don't remember the name of the site, but it pays you back. Like, you invest in the game. And you get like money. It sounds like the worst idea ever. They're asking for a lot of money, and you can actually make investments in things, which, like, for like the Oculus Rift or something, if that was going up there, I'd be like, yeah, but for a video game? Like, I feel like that a lot of my mentality for wanting to support a game on Kickstarter is like, I want to support this. Like,
yeah.
I want to own it, and I'll throw money at it early to make it happen because I've got this mentality of I support with my dollars. But with this, it's just like an investor opportunity. That just sounds weird to
me. Sounds weird, yeah.
Like, I understand, because I want to invest in the Oculus. You can't do that. But people did a Kickstarter. Like, if they did that, I'd be like, oh, fuck yeah. That's the future. It's $5,000. Like,
yeah.
But.
Phil.
Yeah.
Your favorite movie of all time, Independence Day.
Is it?
It's not my
favorite speech of all time.
I know some people who that is their favorite.
Wow, really?
I never really understood.
I can't wait to see Jeff Goldblum make a virus from Windows Vista and this time
and install it in a 1,000-year advanced.
He fills it with a bunch of Reddit pictures and just destroys it. Really disgusting memes.
WTF?
Yeah.
So there was a trailer for the sequel, the long awaited by you sequel.
No, it wasn't. I never cared about Independence Day, but the trailer looks kind of cool. It looks kind of cool. I mean, I like to see Jeff Goldblum back. I like to see the guy who played the president back.
Jeff Goldblum is definitely the big selling point for me. He's not been in anything lately other than fucking Black Ops 3. But
yeah.
Phil, you're not... Yeah. You are also excited that Will Smith's not in it, right?
No, I wish Will Smith was in it. But I guess he's trying to become like a serious actor. Like, he's trying to do that head trauma movie. I think that's what it comes down
Concussion.
To. Concussion, yeah.
I respect
that. Well, he still does a lot of, like, other...
He's in Suicide Squad, so...
Yeah. Yeah. I don't respect that, but I... Honestly, he's, like, the corniest part about Suicide Squad from the... No, he's not. But he's in top three corniest parts. The little he was in that trailer was so Boy Scout. It was like, well, you're a villain? What? So we're like a Suicide Squad, right? That was drop the name of the movie. Will Smith. I want to see him like do like a Steve Carell where he turns around his career and goes like super fucking serious, and that's kind of what this new movie is like. Oh, that was Will Smith. Whoa, like I do want to. I'm glad he's doing that. Like, like I feel like he's gotten to sort of a low point in his career after like the After Earth movie and everything.
Oh, dude,
and he's just in a lot of crap. Like,
why would you ever be in an M. Night Shyamalan movie?
Oh, I fucking love M. Night Shyamalan, but why would you be in a movie post The Happening? Because it's clear it's gonna die. Shyamalan and Will Smith are friends. Like, they've always been, like, personal friends, and so that's how the movie came to be, was he's like, Will Smith really wanted to force his son into acting again. And so they're just like...
Yeah, I heard a lot of jokes that they were like, I bet they wouldn't let Jaden Smith be in Independence Day, so he didn't want to be. There was actually two different scripts, I guess. Like, they developed two completely different scripts for this movie, one with him and one without.
His wife fucking sang metal, like
scream. Jada Pinkett?
Yeah.
Yeah. She also was really good friends with Tupac.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the Smith family. They're really weird, but I've liked Will Smith in like a couple things. I've never really gotten. I think he's a likable guy, but like I don't. It's not. It's kind of like, shit. He died, Flubber, recently. Robin Williams. He's kind of like Robin Williams. We're like, oh, I love Robin Williams, but then I think about like what he's been in, and I'm like, I liked Good Morning Vietnam,
Good Will Hunting,
Jumanji.
I've only watched a little bit of that when I was a kid. I love Jumanji. I like Jumanji. It's not that
Good Will Hunting. No, it's such a good movie.
It's not like I'm like, yeah, his performance in Jumanji. Holy shit! Like,
it's a great, memorable family adventure movie. There's no reason to reboot it, but I hear that they're doing that.
I could see them rebooting that. It's a fun movie. Like if they reboot fun movies that, like, for the fuck of it, like, unless it sucks, like, I'm not that...
It's gonna suck.
It's good. It's not like it has some amazing source material to live up to. It's just a simple plot about a board game that comes to life. You could make a fun reboot out of that. Like,
no, I just make a sequel. Like, a new cast of characters. The first movie happened at some point.
Oh.
You don't have to have seen it. I mean, that's what the Jurassic World did, right?
You mean they're rebooting the plot? When you said reboot, I was thinking, like, they take the plot and they apply it to a new
set. To my understanding, it's, like, a reboot. Like, they're redoing the movie.
If they redo the movie, that's fucking stupid.
iRobot, I love that movie.
I saw it once, and I remember liking it.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I honestly love it.
Oh.
It was all
right. It was a really fun action movie.
I saw it well after it came out, and I really didn't like it, but I won't get into that.
So Tim Schafer.
Well, wait.
We're talking about Independence Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I thought the CG in the trailer looked...
Yeah, the ship is bigger this time.
I've seen too much fucking cities being blown up for one lifetime.
Well, I mean, yeah, when you saw the White House get blown up, that was like, oh shit.
Now
they can do that with an ease. Now their only answer is to just make a bigger ship. But
it looked fun. I mean,
it's all right.
It's got Jeff Goldblum in it.
The first one was just a fun popcorn blockbuster for the summer. Uh-huh.
It's kind of like Jurassic Park is to me, where I'm like, yeah, that was fun. Yeah, I enjoyed that. And then everybody else is like, pop culture. This is permanent. This is a masterpiece.
Are you talking about Jurassic World? Jurassic Park.
I'm talking about everything after Jurassic Park. How, like, because I enjoyed the first one, and I don't give a shit at that point after it. Like I was like, oh yeah, first one's fun, and then to other people, it's like gospel. It's just like, dude, just gotta see a new Jurassic movie.
I loved the first movie, but that being said. So Independence Day 2, it's could suck. It's directed by the same guy that directed the first movie.
Yeah, I don't think it'll suck. I think it'll be fine. It'll probably be fine. That's going to have like a bajillion people go see it, and it's going to sell big box office records like Jurassic World did.
Mm-hmm. I hope it's better than Wild Wild West.
Oh, yeah. Nah, me too.
Saw it at a drive-in.
Wild Wild West.
I thought it was cool when I was a kid, but now I know better.
People have been talking about that. Is it because Will Smith dropped some movie to be in Wild Wild West?
He dropped The Matrix.
The Matrix, yeah. Oh, he was going to be the Neo.
Oh, yeah, and it was a huge mistake. Independence Day sequel to be in Suicide Squad.
I don't know, that's kind of an omen there, but I hope that Suicide Squad's good.
So it's actually Suicide Squad that needs to be better than Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
If we're judging by history. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, Independence Day 2, kind of a cool trailer. People are not particularly sure. It had the speech in it, and it was real neat when they like cut it off.
Yeah, that was cool. It was a well done trailer. It got the job done. Completely unrelated to anything to do with Independence Day, although Phil could probably pull a segue out of his ass. But Yakuza 6. Yakuza 6 was. There was a trailer shown for Yakuza 6. I think it was at the PlayStation Experience or sometime shortly after.
Yeah.
And then they also announced that Yakuza 0 is coming west.
Oh, baby, yeah.
Which I'm so fucking excited for.
So what is Yakuza 0?
Yakuza 0 came out after 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just a... it's a prequel.
Okay.
It tells the story of Kazuma and... Or is it Kazuya?
Kazuma.
Kazuma and his buddy, I forget his name, and how their relationship... Basically, it's the story of them, you know, before the events of Yakuza 1.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place in the 80s. And anyway, it's supposed to be really fucking good, and I was...
It seems like the most Yakuza game of all of them, in that it's like an actual simulation of Yakuza, like, businesses. So, mm-hmm. you buy, a hostess club, and you hire girls,
mm-hmm.
and you manage them, and you try to con people into coming into your business.
Oh, okay.
And you so create you can, their schedules.
You rank, you know, charge them out up the nose for a beer, and then when they can't pay, you break their leg kind of thing. But you manage the actual business, though. You run a casino or a pachinko parlor. You run businesses, and there's actually a management element that actually looks really fun. While at the same time, so it doesn't have the girl in it. So it's it's really the origin story of the most important character of the series, and others. I am assuming, but I don't really remember who's prominent through the series. Other than the only people that are prominent at this point are the people who showed up in 4, the main guys that showed up in 4. I've seen them in 5 and 6 trailer. I think.
Yeah, this guy. He's been in all of them.
I know there's been a bunch of villains that he's beaten. That
yeah, this guy they end up. I think they end up being rivals. They don't get along. He's the eye patch guy.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's right.
So it's those two, and
that's my favorite part about the Yakuza series is there's all these villains. There's just this super manly rivalry, and they all end in on some rooftop. Just at night, you rip your shirts off, and you just got your tattoos. You're like, "Oh, this is the dragon of this neighborhood," and then you beat the shit out of each other. And then when you whoop the one guy, then you gain the respect of him, and it's just a bromance for the rest of the series.
Nice.
Nobody dies. Everybody's just becomes your bro. That's just.
That is how it works in a lot of respects. Or they become bitter enemies, like the one guy he's best friends with early on, and then they start to hate each other. He's the dragon of Dojima, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, shit is right. So Yakuza 0, super excited. That's been out in Japan since, I think, February. I've read reviews, and it's supposed to be really fucking good. And then Yakuza 6 was also announced, which is coming out, I think, in August.
Mm-hmm.
In Japan, so hopefully sometime after that it will come stateside.
There was a little trailer for it.
There was a trailer, yeah. Gameplay.
And it was funny because the trailer didn't have much in it, but the tiny... It was a bizarre trailer because it was enough to tell fans of the game something about the change in it. It was very minimal. It just was the second half of the trailer was Kazuma shimmying along a rooftop. Climbing over obstacles and
basic platforming.
Shimmying through walls and then jumping from one rooftop to another. That was half of the reveal trailer. was like the most basic mechanic. But think about Yakuza fans then realize, yeah. Oh shit, this is like actually open world. You can jump from rooftop to rooftop. Like
that's awesome.
There's a ton of invisible walls in this series. So that just was kind of like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, to people that aren't fans of the series, are probably like, why is he...
Why the fuck did I need to see that?
He just climbed over a pipe.
Like, that was the big finale of the trailer, yeah. Was...
But, that's awesome.
But I'm super... I'm excited. It looks really good, too. The games look good. They have a nice-looking engine.
Yeah.
They run well, and...
And some people have complained that they've kept the beat-em-up gameplay.
And not really...
And how that's dated.
Yeah.
But those people are dumb. Because beat-em-ups don't come out anymore, and this is like the modern beat-em-up. Like, they've got the cool picking up items off the ground, but then they got sweet finishers with them, and they've got all these combos that you can unlock through your level ups, and they
beat the shit out of people with bikes,
yeah,
and benches.
They applied the Shenmue Virtua Fighter beat-em-up gameplay really well with a JRPG level up system. Where you can buy moves with your level ups, and it's really cool.
I think the only thing missing is ragdoll physics from the beat 'em up system. Just being able to punch a guy and have him flop over into the wall or something.
Well, no, it has that.
Mm-mm, it does not.
It doesn't?
No.
I always thought that it did.
It doesn't.
Like, it's very stiff, but like there's a ton of reactions.
Yeah, there's react. You can like punch a guy up against a wall and stuff, but it's not like.
Oh yeah, I guess it's like stuff. Activated.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
an they're animation. Very stiff games like that.
Yeah,
so they are very old school feeling, but
I like it. I think it's endearing to me, and they have so much content in them, so much other stuff.
You can do. It's but like, the mini games are ridiculous. Like especially
you can play Virtua Fighter 2 in Yakuza 5.
Yeah, Yakuza 5. You can play Virtua Fighter 2 and Taiko, the Sega rhythm game where you have a drum.
Mm-hmm.
They have the actual fucking arcade cabinet in the game, which is a really fun game. But there might be more. But yeah, like
for anybody out there that played Shenmue back in the day and enjoyed it, Yakuza is right up your alley. It's like a spiritual successor in a lot of ways to Shenmue.
It looks like a game that's right up my alley. Regardless, I would love to play any of the Yakuza games.
Get Yakuza 5.
So
it's $40.
So Yakuza 5 just came out Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Yes, $40 digital download on PlayStation Network. I just bought it. Haven't played it yet. Really excited because the user reviews, even the main critic reviews, are saying that it's like. Possibly the best U.S. release one so far, which is
nice.
5.
It was like a refresh for the development team, too. Yakuza 5 was their way of kind of starting over.
Which is why people are pissed that it took 2 years to bring it to the U.S.
So is this game...
It came out in 2012.
Fuck.
Is there a lot to follow up on as far as the story? Is there a lot of that story?
Yes and no.
I think for 5, you'd be okay starting... Okay.
That's cool.
Well,
and there's
5,
refresh videos on YouTube. And stuff.
No, in the game, remember?
So, oh, yeah,
in the
you're
game,
right.
The game does this really cool thing.
You're right.
Where every game, there's there's an option on the main menu called Reminisce.
Mm-hmm.
And you just watch like a well-put-together 15 to 20-minute long cutscene for each game. Yakuza 1, and it's just a compilation of like the most important plot. It spoils the whole game, but it gives you all the important details, and it's like each one is like less than the length of an episode of a show, and you just watch them all for the games you missed to find out everything that happened up to this point.
You just reminisce.
Yeah, and so I've always liked that because especially since they're so big and the series has been going on for so long, it's easy to forget plot points, so... Even if you did play it, it's good to refresh. But, yeah, so you can go back. I'm going to start... I own 3 and 4. I've owned them forever. I'm not going to play 1 and 2. So I've already watched their cutscenes, the 20-minute long ones. So I know what happens in that. But, like, 3, I want to beat it.
When are the football games this weekend?
Is there a physical copy of Yakuza 5?
No,
it's all digital. Only digital.
Okay. 3 and 4 have physical.
Hold on. Sound familiar to anybody?
We can't.
Sounds familiar.
It's a sweet song. Right? It's called Troy, which stands for They Reminisce Over You.
Okay.
If you played NBA Street Volume 2, you would be very familiar with this song. Or if you were a hip-hop aficionado.
Which I'm not.
Anyway, when you said reminisce, it reminded me of that song. Great fucking song.
Nice.
Dream Theater is hip-hop, right?
They are hip-hop to the core.
No, Phil thinks Linkin Park is, though.
No, I don't think Linkin Park is hip-hop. God damn it.
They had that one album.
Yeah, so Yakuza 5, are you going to get it, Phil?
Yeah, I'm going to get it.
You promise?
I want to play
it. Promise.
Fuck yeah.
Jeez, that was a really aggressive pinky promise.
That was a gung-ho pinky promise.
I've never had such an aggressive... Usually pinky promise is like, okay, yeah. But it feels like fucking metal pinky promise. Rip your pinky off.
Yeah, rip it off and keep it.
It's like a collateral until I beat the game.
There is an element in Yakuza 5, apparently. So basically, in Yakuza 1, there's this orphan girl who... I think... Did you kill her parents? I don't remember.
Fuck,
there's a little girl, you're protecting her. She becomes your adopted daughter. She grows up a little bit with each game.
He owns an orphanage.
In the third game, he gets an orphanage, and he gets all the other kids, and she's basically his daughter. And, which is just so sweet. But then in Yakuza 5, she's grown up enough that she's a teenager, and she's a playable character now, in the sense that she can walk around the city. She doesn't beat anybody up. I don't think. Maybe she does. Fuck, I don't know. But there is a... she's trying to become a pop star. And it's like her road to... Because starting from 4, you like switch off of different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Like you play the detective. You play the guy breaking out of prison. 4 is a fucking awesome game too, by the way. You should probably start with 4. I think 4 is sort of the real refresher point, because 4 was very different.
It was very different, but 5 was the...
Well, 5 uses the characters from 4 and keeps that perspective switch thing, so you're really kind of continuing that story. So
yeah,
I really want to beat 4 first. Like, I think 3 you can skip, because it's just another... The first 3 are Yakuza games, but 4 and 5 are very different. Like,
this is coming from the studio themselves. This isn't like somebody that reviewed the game and said it was like a refresher. They actually have said that 5 was the point where they wanted to kind of start fresh with the series and stuff.
Really?
Like that. So, yeah.
Interesting. Well, but
but you can still want to play
character stories get like continued though.
Yeah, and that's, I don't think that it's like they're just cutting all ties with the old games, but I think it's that what they mean by that is it's a good starting point. Like, if you know, they still continue on with stories and stuff.
I know
stuff,
what that means.
Yeah,
I get you. I see. You, definitely.
Okay, yeah, so...
That's the way I understood it.
They'll probably throw out a lot of hooks to make it easy to get back on track, whereas the others really didn't. So the little girl wants to become a pop star or whatever, because since she grew up in the Yakuza and she's known for that, you know, nobody's going to hire her. So the only thing you can really do in Japan, I guess, is become a pop star. So it's like kind of realistic and harsh. Like, she's getting yelled at by her instructors, and you're trying to take dance classes, and there's some silliness too. There's an image that's been going around. Sorry,
it's all right.
Hold on, this is produced by KM Beats. It's a hip hop jingle bell. Oh.
Hell yeah.
You like this, Phil?
Love it.
It's like the
hip hop jingle bells.
It's like the slowest tempo.
Phil, spit a verse to this.
There you go.
That's great.
Alright,
I just wanted to get something Christmas themed in.
Oh.
Sorry.
So. There's like a famous screenshot that's been going around of her like dancing and like striking a pose, and her eyes are like swelled up with tears, and she's like trying to look happy. So it seems like it's gonna be kind of heartbreaking, but then it's also very silly, where some weird silly guy challenges you to a dance off in the streets, and the game is very Japanese, but it's like. It's not anime Japanese. Yeah. It's like live-action drama Japanese.
That's cool.
Which is very over-the-top and expressive, but it still does have some of those tropes, but there's just nothing's anime-y about it. It's just very much like a Japanese soap opera.
And it has good writing. The relationships and, like, the... All that stuff is very interesting, and it's a good... it's a good series. There's some crazy shit too. There's like some slightly every once in a while there'll be something like slightly supernatural that you're like, wait, what the fuck? Like, and some guy that controls electricity or something.
Yeah, some weird, like, Kojima, like, like jarring...
It's very it's more subtle.
And,
it's
not but then sometimes there's, like, total comedic shifts where there's a... Like, Yakuza 3 or 4 had these moments where, like, you'd witness something and you'd take a picture of it with your phone to, like, gain knowledge and get a new skill. And the moments were always, like, ridiculously silly. Like, a grandma... like somehow lands on a moped and does a flip, or a guy's a panty thief and he's jumping from rooftop to rooftop and some girl's chasing him. He's got some panties on his head and he like zip lines down and escapes and you like filming it and you're like, ah, oh, you like learn a new move. Like so there's some weird shit.
That's
like
really... That guy ziplining reminds me of this kick that I learned.
Yeah. So, and I hope that's in 5, because those are really great, but, yeah, I bought it, I'm really looking forward to it. I've never really gotten into them. I've played a few hours, I've really gotten the gist of it.
Yeah.
But they are a little dry, you gotta be in the right mood. If you're in the right mood, though, it can be unforgettable,
just you know, awesome. The thing about those games is, they're not the kind of game that you play when you want to play a game. Yeah. There's kind of more like a... They take a lot of patience, mm-hmm. and I don't mean that like to say that they're boring. They are dry. They're just a different type of game. They're this kind of game where you just immerse yourself in the world and you know walk around slowly and go from place to place and do these activities and get in fights and stuff. But you definitely have to be in the mood for them. But they're very fun and rewarding and just interesting. And, nice. And they're very peaceful in a lot of ways too. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of
even when there's those really dark subplots, you're just they're just beat the shit out of the guy and they're their friend. Like
there's something very like serene about them.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's hard to explain until you play it. But I felt a similar way about like Shenmue.
My favorite thing about them is something that Shenmue did as well, and it has detailed shops. I love that.
Mm, it does. Very detailed.
Like, if you go to Japan, that's the shops that you see in Yakuza. Like you walk around a mini-mart in Yakuza, and they have 3D models for so many different products. It literally is like they went into a mini-mart, and they just modeled, like, drew out, like, everything in the store, and just threw it in model. There's nothing at all lazy. There's so many shops in the games, and, like, different kinds of burger places and restaurants that for some reason you can buy everything from them. It's cool, because if you've ever wanted to go to Japan, well, you can go to Japan and fucking Yakuza.
Yeah,
nice.
It's like, it's just as much of a, it's almost like a life simulator in a lot of ways. It's not just like a standard adventure / fighting game. You get the feeling that like when you watch gameplay and stuff of it, that it's like a beat 'em up with mixtures of this, but really, it's the beat 'em up is a small aspect of it. You know,
there are a lot of random encounters where you're this big ass guy, and little street toughs will just like run up to you and be like, "Hey, you don't like your style?" And like, because there's always random battles when you're walking around the streets, and there's like corny dialogue.
You walk up to three toughs.
Yeah. And like, yeah, they're
just going.
Like,
let's kick his ass.
You're not going down this alleyway.
And you're just like, fuck, look at me. Like,
I'm gonna beat the shit out of you with a bench.
Yeah.
With a park bench.
They're like, no. And then you do it. And then when you beat the shit out of them, like, sometimes they'll, like, come back, like, with bruises and scars. And they're like, their boss will be with them. And they'll be like, hey, I would beat the shit out of my guys. And then you beat the shit out of them. And then he'll, like, you'll be like, oh, you are good. And they'll give you some Neosporin as a gift or some weird
thing. Yeah, where they'll just... take the Neosporin.
It's like one of those things where, like, you get their respect. Too. They're like, all right, you're pretty good. You can go.
And take this, and they'll give you a can of bug spray. Or a hot dog. Like, it's seriously stuff like
take
that.
Take this corn dog. As a
take my hair comb.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, some pocket change.
I think we've all...
we've all decided that we're going to play Yakuza 5.
I'm going to play Yakuza 5.
I'm going to get the old PS3 out, fucking hook it up.
Mine's all ready to go.
It's not a PS4 game. It's only a PlayStation.
I wish it was only
PlayStation 3?
Yakuza 6 and 0 are on the PS4, as well as the one that we won't be getting, which is the one set in the samurai, like, Edo period, Japan, which sounds amazing.
There's been, like, 3 Yakuza games that we haven't got that take place in, take place in different periods of Japanese history that are, like, they're descendants of Kazuma and some of the other characters.
Cool.
And
yeah.
Anyway, it does look cool, too. I remember when I was watching gameplay of the latest one, I'm watching, and it takes place, like, in the 1800s, so it's a little more modern.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows him, and he's, like, gets in a fight, and he's, like, slashing at these guys, and then he just goes, and, like, pulls out a fucking revolver and shoots at him. I was like, wait, what?
Wait, in the samurai one?
Yeah.
What era does this take place in? Like, the 1800s?
Well, this one was, like, the 1800s.
They don't even have guns in the... Okay, so didn't they also do, like, a remake of the first one recently? Remember when there was, like, the cutscene that went viral of them slapping the little girl? Didn't they do like an HD, like a PS4 remake of the first one?
The first Yakuza?
A remaster, yeah.
I don't think so.
I think there's like a Japanese trailer that came out like a few months back. Because remember, trailer went viral with him slapping the little girl.
Yeah, I remember him slapping the girl, but I thought that was from something else.
Either they were showing an old cutscene, like a flashback in Zero or something, or a flash forward, or.
Right.
I don't know what that was. Maybe. Look at anyway, what. What have we played?
You know, I've been playing a little more Just Cause, and I mean, it's okay. I need to play a little bit more. I'm just not feeling it right now. I'm just not enthused about Just Cause right now.
I'm glad I didn't buy it because I wasn't really enthused either. Hour 11. Remake. Yeah, there is a remake of... That's Yakuza Kiwami. Is a remake of the first Yakuza game.
Really?
So, there's yet another...
What was it released on?
PS4.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Sega announces HD remake of Yakuza and Yakuza 6. So they were announced at the same time in September. Yeah, that's cool.
Weird. Oh, so is it not out yet?
I don't think it's out in Japan. It's out in January.
God, I'd love for that to come stateside.
Yeah, I'd play that.
How do they fucking pump out so many games? A full blown remake or just an HD remaster? Does it even say?
It says remake. PS3 and PS4.
What the hell?
Yeah, so everybody buy Yakuza 5 so we can get this shit.
Yeah,
I really want the samurai one, but I'd play that. The first one's iconic. I never played it.
I think they released a statement a while back that literally said we don't release those because they're not, because Americans aren't interested in that stuff or something.
Oh, that's
like
totally
that.
It. Yeah. So
what have you been playing? You've been playing... Okay.
I put like 40 hours into Xenoblade.
Tell me about Xenoblade.
And I watched Krampus.
You got 14 seconds.
Fuck! Okay, so Xenoblade. It is... it's really hard to describe. Okay, so Xenoblade is basically Phantasy Star Online meets Dragon's Dogma meets Monster Hunter meets Mass Effect.
Wow.
It's a big fucking game. And it is probably one of the biggest Japanese games I've ever played. It's the most open and customizable and expansive, definitely. In terms of JRPGs, there's never been a bigger, more open world than this. Because they don't normally do open world.
No.
Some do, but a lot of them are really faked open world.
They do the kind of pseudo open world from maybe like the PS2 era.
Yeah, this one is very Western. In fact, there was a recent statement by the head developer that all of his favorite works are Western works, all of his influences. He usually watches just American movies and plays American games and whatnot. So he clearly is a fan of our open world formula that's going around. This game's open world is ridiculous. Like, you've got the crackdown super jump. Like when you sprint and jump, you just jump. And there are no invisible walls in this game. There are massive cliff sides and mountains you can climb and epic vistas. The draw distance on this game's engine is ridiculous for the Wii U.
It looks really good.
There are distant waterfalls spraying mist like they really good looking waterfalls, and they spray mist, like thick mist, and you can see them from a mile away. They're still doing it. It's not like most games where it's just like you see like a wall of blue or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see monsters. Like, I was standing on a cliff, and there's this massive bridge, like, miles out, and I saw a monster running across it. Mm-hmm. And I don't have the 10 gigabyte patch that improves load times and draw distances. I don't even know how this game looks at its best. And it looks fucking amazing. For a Wii U game, that's crazy. So, yeah, this game is visually very good for... And the fact that there's no invisible walls... When you're running around the game's city... basically, the game's story is... Earth gets destroyed in the future. This is very different from Xenoblade Chronicles, by the way. Earth gets destroyed, and the U.S. sends out this massive star fleet, basically, to preserve the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And they send them out in different directions, and the aliens that blow up Earth chase them and blow up all the ships. And there's only one ship left, the White Whale, and it gets blown up, but it's got this massive biodome in the middle of it that's basically like a prepackaged city. And all of these thousands upon thousands of people frozen in cryogenic state in this life pod. And so the ship blows up, and that stuff crash lands down to Earth, and the city just lands, and it's, you know, open, and it's new L.A. So Los Angeles back, baby, and it's on a fucking alien planet.
Cool.
It's got palm trees and everything. Really interesting. There's, like, some weird, like, attempt at some kind of hip-hop, yeah, like, going, like, looping throughout the city. It's amazing. But
how's the tell me how the combat is. I'm really, really curious about.
The combat's really weird.
I've seen videos of it.
I love scenery like this in fantasy.
It just looks really amazing.
So the combat,
it's cool.
Is that X?
It's Xenoblade.
That's the first one. That's the one on the original Wii. The new one, wait. Yeah. That's the original. Look up X. The combat is like an MMO, and I mean that not as in a bad way. Like, there are definitely MMO elements of this game that are a little overwhelming and kind of boring, but the combat is like very, very tactical and strategic. You have a bar of skills, you're constantly auto-attacking, and you use the skills at the right time. You can combo and chain skills together for more effect. Like, oh, this guy's weak to cut attacks, so I know that, and if I knock him down with the knockdown, I can use this one attack to do extra damage, but I can't knock him down unless I do this other attack to weaken him so that he could be knocked down by that knockdown. So you chain like five skills. It's insanely in
this it sounds game's like got a game that you so would almost have to have a strategy guide for.
And I bought it, and the strategy guide fucking sucks. It's the worst strategy guide I've ever seen. I'm gonna throw it in the trash. It's never helped me once. And I have a lot of questions for the game. So the game's got a manual, and fortunately, it explains a lot. But there's so much that I'm 40 hours in. I just now got the mech, the scale, and it's so customizable that it's ridiculous. Like, and it adds such a different element to the game. There are continents you can't really even go to unless you get a flying mech. But yet you don't get it till like halfway through the game, and the combat changes completely. Now you can fight massive monsters. Pretty much the whole game's goal is to be as rewarding as possible. It's about slow build-up. And it does a really cool thing where you're constantly running around this open world, and you're constantly seeing things that are way higher level than you. Ever since, like, the first few seconds of the game, you see massive level 50 beasts.
That's cool.
And you see a lot that are hostile to you and will target you and snipe you from across the map, which is not cool.
Well, it's cool in the sense that...
It builds tension, but...
Instead of just, like, starting out fighting, like, small rats in a cave, like most RPGs, you start out with seeing these massive monsters.
Like, they keep that up. Basically, when you're at the end of the game, there's no reason to not be everywhere in the game world. Like, you can get something, even if you're a level 50, there's not like, oh, that's the newbie zone. There's the high-level shit. Like, they designed every region for every level.
That's cool.
So you're constantly seeing these behemoths, these massive, awesome monsters. The monster designs are really cool. And you're seeing these mega ones. And there's no way in hell you're going to even attack it. And they're level, you know, 55 plus. I've played the game for about 40 some hours. I'm a level 28. I have not killed or even considered killing a single one of these massive monsters. And I know that at some point, 100 hours into this game, I'm going to have tons of skills. Everyone in my party is going to have a mech. It's going to be customized to shit.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, you can have like four mechs.
That's
in the party.
That's awesome.
So you buy different builds of mechs. You can customize every single part of them. Every skill, you have a skill bar of like 8 or 9 skills, mm-hmm. and every one of the skills is a weapon you buy in a slot. So once you fill out all 9 skills, that means you have 9 weapons attached to your mech. Like oh, the arm does something, and the pauldron does something, and he's got a big-ass gun, and he's got a secondary gun, and each one's a different skill. And so you're constantly buying out, like, well, this one will go well with that, this kind of attack. This is like a shield, I can use that for the defensive, you time things right, and it's just so in-depth, it's ridiculous.
Fuck. Sounds like that we need to have a podcast just based on this game when you finish it.
So that's my take on Xenoblade. It's really good, and the story is, as a sci-fi story for a JRPG, it's awesome. The actual characters in the main story, it hasn't really grabbed me. It's okay. And because but the open world, the gameplay, you just can't really stop playing it. It just mm-hmm. keeps, you just keep wanting to play more. And I feel like at some point I'm going to get burned out. I'm going to be like, well, I want to spend my time on something else because I'm not even close. Like, I feel like I just hit the halfway point and I'm 40 plus hours in. And for me, normally I burn out around 50 hours into a game. So, like, The Witcher, I beat it in 55 hours, and that was huge. Like, huge game. So, yeah, this game is ridiculous.
Would you play it, Phil?
I would give it a chance. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's not for everybody, but if it's for you, then it's like one of the best games this year, if you like that kind of genre. And I say, I guess I'll talk about we've got a little bit of time, I'll talk a little bit about the multiplayer. I say it's like Monster Hunter and Dragon's Dogma because you create your main character. It's fully customizable. You can customize every slot of armor. You can even attach cosmetic gear, like you can get a suit and heart-shaped sunglasses. You can dress yourself like an Israeli commando,
I'd love that.
Even though you are, technically, you have the stats of, like, super power armor where you look like a demon. If you don't want to look like that, you can look silly.
That's cool.
You can wear tank tops or swimsuits or whatever.
Bro tanks?
Yeah, bro tanks. And I got, like, a camo tank top and some heart-shaped sunglasses and jeans. And everybody else is wearing, like, Mass Effect armor.
The monsters and the mech, they just look so cool. It makes me want to play the game just for the sole purpose of immersing in that world.
If you are a fan of customizing mechs, this is the game for you. Like,
I imagine I would like it. I mean, does it cost a lot of money, each little part you buy?
No, because, well, you set up, like, mining operations to give you a shit ton of money, so mm-hmm. You're constantly gaining resources and spending it on your mech.
I won't fuck up this time like I did playing Fallout 4 with the level-up system.
Oh, God.
So, there's so much to the game. But anyways, the multiplayer. It's like Dragon's Dogma in that you create your character and you import it. Like, you register your character, and you log into the online, and you can get into your friend's servers. Each server is, I believe, up to 38 or 36 players, and they're all playing at the same time. And you don't see each other. It's not like an MMO where you see each other, but you do see each other's characters that they've registered. And they're just standing around in different points in the world. Sometimes they're looking at an epic viewpoint, looking at a vista. And they got a beer. They're just, like, drinking beer, which is, I just love that touch. They're just hanging out. But then there's this one room where there'll be, like, 8 or 9 online players. And you can walk up to them and talk to them, and you can preset something to say. They can join your party for 30 minutes at the current state that they register their character in. So, like Dragon's Dogma, it has that pawn system where you can get your friends' characters in your game. And like Monster Hunter, you can join up with your friends in a lobby And there are these mega beasts that will come in at different event time points in time, and you can join up together and fight the monster, and use this the game's crazy in-depth mechanics to beat big bosses, and to the point where there's like you know there's a boss at the end of the game, like at the end of the online component, the mega boss, and it takes 36 people at end game.
Oh my god. To kill.
Like, yeah. And you could have them all... Everyone in the server can fight at once. They can all join each other's game and fight.
Right.
We didn't even know this was a feature until we just were like, oh, there's multiplayer. Like, we were in the same room playing the game together.
Uh-huh.
And we fired it up, and we were like, oh, shit, we're in each other's game. And we... Like, as soon as we did that, Jack's like, game of the year. But, and you do get a lot of cool loot for doing it. And then there's another online component where you're working together to gain tickets that you can cash into. You can actually, if there's a lot of gather collect quests that are really annoying in the game, you can buy the items that you have to collect outright if you don't want, if you're too lazy,
mm-hmm.
And you get stuck on it. You can buy the items through these tokens that you get for doing multiplayer. So you want to do multiplayer so that you can be lazy in the boring quests. So you do all the fun multiplayer so you can skip out on all the dumb bullshit and when you feel like it. And so, like, there's also, like, these enemies. Like every hour, every single online player gets this alert that they can do this other mission where you have six different targets. Like, different monster types that you have to kill. Like, oh, there's these big dodo birds. Well, you have to kill, like, 30 of them mm-hmm. together. And when you kill one, it registers the kill. And so you can you're kind of like on a race to hunt down monsters in each other in your own little game, the single player part of it. You're killing monsters, but it's building up to a bigger goal that you're trying to complete within an hour. And when you do that, everybody in the server gets rewarded with tokens. So the way they handle the multiplayer is awesome.
It just amazes me how it amazes me how some games are so fucking huge.
Yeah.
And then you compare them to some other games, and it's just pretty incredible what some development teams can.
Looking at a meme here, Xenoblade Chronicles X, world too big, too much water, too much swimming, 7.8 out of 10. Is it a really big world?
The world is absolutely ginormous. There's like 5 colossal continents.
Wow.
Well, yeah. So
it sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. It really does. It really sounds like an amazing game. I hope that...
It's not for everybody, which is the problem, because like a lot of it in the game is for everybody because it sounds so good, but like a lot of people are going to be very intimidated by it.
Yeah.
It looks
intimidating. It does. It sounds intimidating, honestly. I mean,
like,
it sounds
even
really
I'm intimidated
cool,
by it, but I still like... It's I'm surprised that I've not been overwhelmed by the gameplay.
Yeah.
I'm actually really enjoying the combat, which normally for combat that intense... Like in depth, I just find it too hard and don't understand.
Yeah.
It. But
it sounds rewarding.
You learn as you play a lot. So I guess the last thing I want to talk about is Krampus. Have you heard of that movie?
I know about Krampus. Yeah,
I watched it. Unexpecting, I didn't expect much out of it. It didn't get very good reviews, but. I recommend everybody watch this movie before Star Wars. Well, I guess it's too late now.
Mm-hmm.
I would have said that last week. It was a fun movie. Do you like the kind of movie that's like Tremors, where it's like, it's not a horror, but it's like...
Kind of a comedy.
It's like kind of a horror.
I can watch that.
And a comedy.
Yeah.
Like, this movie's PG-13, so there's no gore, there's no jump scares, but it's a Christmas horror.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very colorful, and the sound design is just crisp and really immersive, and it's a comedy. So, like, basically, the Krampus is the German legend of the anti-Santa. There's a kid in the house who hates his family. The family's always shit. And they ruin the kid's Christmas, and he wishes that Christmas was like it used to be, where a family was all together and everybody's...
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wishes for, and the wish gets shattered. So they either, you know, they rip up their note to Santa, or they rip the head off of a teddy bear or whatever that they love, and they throw it away, and as soon as they throw it away, that, like, summons the Krampus, and it just They get entrapped in basically a just like a just a blizzard where they
how long is this movie?
Pretty short. I mean, it's like an hour and a half, hour 20.
Just basic. Okay.
You know, like a good campy B movie should be.
Yeah.
And the movie has so many great practical effects with like
awesome.
Like, because it's Santa and his companions, but like the demonic version, and there's a lot of Jim Henson like wackiness, like where it looks like a lot of the Dark Crystal designs and just, you know, that weird creepy. This is just
80s.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of like mystery behind the monster designs. A lot of monsters are like concealed by things. Like, they're actually this horrible slug thing, but they're, like, hiding under, you know, like, a Jack-in-the-Box mask. And you know, so like, which you can see that in the trailer. But the thing this director does that I love the most is his use of colors and lighting and like, his thing is doing holiday horrors. He did, like, a Halloween horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that movie was
very... What was it called? Trick or Treat? I saw that movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Phil, you try to say that you don't like horror movies, but yet you've seen all of them.
Okay, yeah, I guess I think horror movies are okay.
If you enjoyed Trick or Treat, you'll probably really enjoy Krampus. It's more family-friendly, but it's not family-friendly. Like
it's kind of a Gremlins thing going on, a Goonies Gremlins thing.
Yeah, Gremlins and Tremors, like that kind of thing. Although I think Tremors are rated R? I don't know.
No, it's PG-13, I think.
Picture
of
Johnny now.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I recommend the movie.
How many Phil heads do you give it?
I give it 3.75
severed Phil heads.
Severed Phil heads out of 5. I thought if you like campy and you like really cool practical effects and good humor and you like horror movies that don't rely on jump scares but cleverness.
Don't take themselves too seriously.
And at the end, it has a good message about Christmas. Like it's like the perfect Christmas movie, yeah. Where it's like Die Hard, where you have this message about family in the most unlikely Christmas movie, and it really just kind of lingers with you, even though it's like not taken seriously and it's a completely off the wall genre. It works way better than most Christmas movies.
My takeaway from Die Hard, the lesson that I learned time after time, is that if you see like wrapping tape for presents,
mm-hmm.
use it to tape a handgun to your back.
Fuck yes. That's how you do it.
Yeah. And always wear shoes.
Yes.
At all times. Never take
especially
your shoes
if you have flat feet.
Good call.
I haven't watched Die Hard in too long.
So I just wanted to say real quick before we head out, we will be watching Star Wars and Hateful Eight very soon, and by our next episode, we will have seen both of those. So.
And Revenant.
And Revenant, so I look forward to talking about that, as well as our Game of the Year stuff. So, I think that's a show, guys.
Yeah. Peace.
So, hey, whoa, settle down there. I already told you about our Facebook, but if you could, like our Facebook page, facebook.com/pixelchickenpodcast. Follow us on Twitter. @pixel_chicken. We will be updating those once we get everything figured out about our Game of the Year stuff, because we probably will also want to have an episode and talk a lot about Star Wars and everything. So, anyway, we will get that all figured out, and you guys just stay tuned. Thank you for listening. Happy holidays, and we will see you not next week, but we will see you shortly. And yeah. Happy New Year as well.
Happy New Year!
Peace!